Unit 5. Listening Focus. Activity 4.
Good morning. In the studio this morning, we're joined by Donna Marchant and Graham Donovan, two psychologists who've undertaken studies looking into some important questions. What makes us happy? And does money have anything to do with it? Well, let's start with the second question. Donna.
The answer I get from reading other psychologists' research is a clear yes, though only to a limited extent. Other people's research tells me very clearly that if your income meets your basic needs, it will make you relatively happy. But, and it's a big but, if you have more than you need to make ends meet, you won't necessarily be any happier. The really interesting question is, if you've reached that point, what should you do with the excess? And how does that affect your happiness levels? That's what I've been looking into in my most recent research.
But how do we determine what excess income is? Is it everything that's left after we've covered basic needs like food, shelter, warmth? What do you think, Graham?
As I understand it, what Donna is saying, and she should know, she's the expert, is that without food and shelter, no one feels happy. But you also need safety. After that comes the need for relationships, a feeling of being appreciated and valued. In fact, as it's often said, without being able to achieve your full potential, you won't be completely happy.
So, Donna, there's a kind of hierarchy of needs, is there?
Yes. Graham is drawing on a classic model or hierarchy developed by the American psychologist Abraham Maslow. I think I'm right in saying that this is where your research interests lie, don't they, Graham? But going back to your question, let me just say that fulfilling these higher order needs takes money. And I would agree with Graham that none of the levels in the hierarchy are really extras. Money spent on your professional and personal development is money very well spent.
Well, that's not my point, actually. Maslow's model is about the psychological development of the individual over time, rather than what a person needs to be happy overall. The emphasis changes over different stages in a person's life. I'd add to that that after you've got food, shelter and safety, money doesn't really come into it so much. You can't buy friendship, self-esteem or fulfillment.
No, you can't. So, Donna, what would you say is wrong with the way people spend their excess income?
There's a tragic paradox about money and happiness, such that people often squander their wealth on the very things that are least likely to make them feel good, namely consumer goods. What's more, the more they indulge in consumer goods, the more inclined they are to obsess about money, and the less willing they'll be to use that money to help others. Obviously, the implications of this are very serious indeed. Using money to help others, that's the key to happiness.
Graham, do you think the research on happiness supports Donna's position?
It's not quite that straightforward. There's a research study that tried to establish a link between altruistic spending and happiness, but it's come in for quite a bit of criticism, much of which I would go along with. For what it's worth, the researchers got people to tell them how much they earned, how happy they felt, how much money they spent on themselves, and how much went on social spending. By that, they meant gifts for others and donations to charity. They then looked at the relationship between income, happiness, and the two types of spending. Because of the way they designed the study, they couldn't prove it was the type of spending that made people happy or not, but it was clear that spending seems to have more to do with happiness than income alone. I'm beginning to wonder if it's possible to look into this and come up with a definitive finding.
Donna, could you tell us more about the study you and your team conducted recently?
We took up the challenge. The more we know about the relationship between spending and happiness, the better able we will be to teach people the facts and perhaps change the emphasis on acquiring things in a vain attempt to make ourselves feel happier. I think that's a very important goal, and one we've partially met in a paper the members of my team and I have just published. We're proud of having come up with a design that gets over the problems Graham mentioned. What we did actually was to ask people how happy they were before and after receiving a bonus at work. The bonuses varied in amount, I should add. After a few weeks, we asked them how they had spent the money and how happy they felt. This time, the relationship between social spending and happiness was much more clear-cut. So much so, in fact, that we feel confident in stating that the way people spent the bonus played more of a role in their happiness than the size of the bonus itself.
I don't want to quibble, but how do you know that there were no other factors that might have intervened to make these people feel happy or unhappy? That said, rabid consumerism and fear about sharing our resources with others are social evils research needs to address. And that's something you do seem to be doing. People should hear about your work.
I think so too. And I hope that today's programme has helped in that regard. But I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Thank you both, Donna and Graham, for being with us today.